Well, would you turn with me to Luke's Gospel in chapter 4? We'll be looking at this passage. We will be looking at other passages. Maybe on reflection, this wasn't the first passage I should have turned you to. But anyway, we'll start there, shall we? And we're going to be looking at another of the wonderful names that God gives himself in the Scriptures and is given to him in the Scriptures so that we can understand the greatness of our God and the relationship that we have towards our God. And we're looking at those names now. We've got on to those names that start Jehovah, that personal God, that God who is intimately concerned with his people. He makes covenants with his people, covenants with eternal covenant in heaven for his people. And he is the God who has a relationship with his people. He had a relationship with Israel, and he has a relationship with all his people. And he, to a certain extent, he has a relationship with everybody in the world, doesn't he? Because he is their God. And even though they don't recognize him as God, he still has a relationship with them. He's still dealing with them. Every good thing and every perfect thing that they have comes down from the Father of lights. They can deny it, but it is the truth. They receive that from God's mighty hand. Every day that they rise from their beds, it is a mercy of the living God towards them, giving them another day of opportunity to seek and find him and to know him. Every day that they have the opportunity to hear the wonderful gospel of life is granted by God. One of the reasons why those people pass by the church every Sunday morning and don't come in is because God has not granted them the opportunity to come in and hear the gospel of life. Because if God touched their hearts, in a moment they would be turned to him to seek him and want him and desire him. None seek after God. Romans 3 tells us this very clearly. None until God seeks after them and deals with them. So he is a very personal God, isn't he? The very name Jehovah tells us that he is a very personal God. And we, as the children of God, are privileged to have this intimately personal relationship with the living God of heaven and earth. It is God who loves us before the beginning of the world. That is an amazing statement, isn't it? That the Almighty God of heaven and earth looks upon us before the beginning of the world, before there is anything at all, before there is even an atom, before anything existed, and he loved us. He loved us so much that he set his love upon us, and he determined that he would have us and he would save us and that he would redeem us by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an incredible thing, isn't it? Such a personal thing. Not that he loved us en masse, but he knew our name. He knew us intimately. He loved us intimately. He wanted us to be part of him and part of his kingdom. That is the love that we're talking about. The love that chose us. The love that elected us. It wasn't a cold and dispassionate choice as far as God was concerned. It was an act of love. His heart went out to us and he determined to have us and to save us. And then he gave his Son for us. What an act of love, personal love was that? And the Holy Spirit comes and works in our hearts. How much more personal can it get, friends, than the Holy Spirit coming into our hearts and in our minds? While we're yet sinners, he did this, remember? It's not only the Lord Jesus Christ who came into the world and died for us on the cross while we were yet sinners, but the Holy Spirit himself worked in the hearts of evil and wicked men. The Holy Spirit, the Holy One, loved us so much that he was willing to do that and to turn us from our wicked ways. Not force us, but to woo us and to help us and to encourage us and to do what was necessary for us so that we would turn and seek the living God and cry out to him for our salvation. What an act of love that is. It's not love to make automatons, is it, that have to follow your will and do what you want. That is the act of an inventor who makes a robot. No better than that. But it was such an act of love for someone that was loved and cherished that the Almighty God sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts to deal with us in that way. And the Holy Spirit of God came into our hearts and got alongside us and worked with us and helped us and drew us by those cords of love and mercy to our loving Saviour and our loving Lord. What an act of love it was. What a personal act of love that the Saviour came for us. That he, before the beginning of the world, entered into this covenant of grace for his people. He was not forced. He was not cajoled. He didn't need persuading. He didn't need time to think about it. But he, when he came into that covenant with the Father and the Spirit to save his people from their sins, he was making a free choice. And it was a choice and an act of great love. That love with which he loved us, the scripture says. Isn't it incredible to think about the Saviour loving us so much that he was willing to part with the glories of heaven and the wonders of heaven and the place where he is adored rightly as the mighty God of heaven and earth, to come into this world as a little baby, to come and live that life of sorrows and grief, to come knowing that he would be taken by creation, by his people, by people who he had created, taken by their hands and crucified. And even some of those he died for, that he might have them for his own. And on that cross of Calvary, what kept him on that cross of Calvary? It was his love for us. That's what kept him on that cross of Calvary. His love for each and every one of us kept him on that cross of Calvary. He is a personal God. And he has a personal, intimate relationship with his people. We now are in Christ. We abide in him, and the miracle of this is he abides in us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We are the temples of the living God, made holy and acceptable by the grace of God, by the work of Jesus Christ, and by the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. And we are that place where God is worshipped and where God is honored in spirit and in truth. He walks with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And that is not a promise again to a body, although it is, but it is also a promise and more particularly to the individual. Each and every one of us never leaves us nor forsakes us. You see, he is a personal God. He has a personal relationship with us. When we pray to him, one of the great differences in our prayers before we become a Christian and after we become a Christian is praying to God before we become a Christian is praying at God. Praying at the mighty God who is sitting on his throne. When we become a Christian, it's praying with God in this relationship that we have with him. Talking with him, discussing with him, bringing our needs to him, bringing our praise to him, and knowing that he is in the room with us, hearing those prayers, and will answer those prayers, because he loves us, and we are his dear children. He has that intimate relationship with us. And in this name that we're going to be looking at, I've got round to it, in this name that we're going to be looking at this evening, this wonderful name, we see him in that intimacy with his people. That name is that he is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, which means he is the God who heals us. He is the God who heals us. But before we come to look at that, let me just ask you, friends, do you appreciate what it is to be a child of the living God? Do you appreciate what it is for your God, the mighty God of heaven and earth, who created all things, who created the stars, who numbers the stars, who calls the stars by name, to see you and to love you intimately, passionately, so much so that he died for you and gave himself for you? Do you know what it is? Do you really appreciate what it is to be a child of the living God and to have this wonderful, personal, intimate relationship with the living God of heaven? It is the greatest privilege on earth, the greatest privilege that any man, woman, or child can have. And it's going to last forever. And it's only going to get better. And it's only going to get more intimate, isn't it? When we walk with him in the joy and the peace and the wonder of his kingdom in heaven with him for all eternity. You think about what Adam had in that garden as he walked with God, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, God coming, walking with him in that garden. Now think, friends, what it will be like. That was at times. But what would it be like to be in the garden of heaven and walk with him all the time? Be with him all the time. Be in his presence and in the presence of the Father all the time. What a wonder that will be, and what a joy that will be. And let me ask you, friends, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in that way, if you be honest, if you do not know him in that way, then you are not a child of the living God. And you need this personal relationship with your God. You need to know him in this way. He needs to be your father. He needs to be your brother who has died for you and given himself for you because he loves you. He needs to be your comforter who has come alongside you and drawn you to the Lord Jesus Christ and lives within you. If you do not know him in this personal way, you do not have a relationship with him, and you need to find him. You need to know him in this way. You need to know him intimately in your life, having this one-to-one with him. Well, Jehovah Rapha. Oh, what an intimate name Jehovah Rapha is. You think about it. What does a doctor have to do to heal somebody? A doctor has to, first of all, come alongside them. He has to empathize with them. He has to care for them, examine them. He has to pour in the balm. He has to apply the healing to them. And he has to watch over them while they're healing. He has to do all these things. It's a very personal thing. That's why one of the big things that they teach doctors today is to be more personable. Some doctors haven't got the message, I know, but that's one of the things they do labour in teaching schools today. I know because my daughter has just qualified as a doctor, and this was one of the very important things. They don't want people who are cold, and they don't want people who just see you as a job. They want people who see you as a person and care about you as a person. So they are supposed to introduce themselves when you go into their waiting room, and they're supposed to ask you how you are, and they're supposed to, in a few moments, sort of make a connection with you. It's a very intimate thing they're going to do, isn't it? They're going to examine you. They're going to lay their hands upon you. They're going to care for you and care for your condition. And they've got to show that they care and they want to do something about it and they want to heal you. Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord who heals. And that's the first thing it teaches us. He literally heals us. It is his work. And he does it. It is God who heals. When the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth and he did his great miracles, many of them he did by touching. Many of them, he made a balm, didn't he? He spat on the earth. He mixed it in his hands and he applied it to the eyes of the blind. He touches. He cares. He goes up to a leper and touched them, a leper that nobody else would touch or even get close to. It's him. He heals. The God who heals. And he does all the processes of healing. He gets alongside us. He cares for us. He identifies the problem and knows the problem that we have. He deals with that problem. He pours in the balm, whatever the balm may be. He cures us. And he restores us. And he watches over us every single step of the way. With the Lord, with doctors, you know, you try and get a doctor out to come and see you. I don't know about your doctors, but our doctors, you don't see them. You don't see hide nor hair of them after 7 o'clock at night. That's a long time. I know they have long, long hours that they work. But if you call up and you want to see a doctor, you're referred to 111, and that's the route you have to go. And you might be sent to see a doctor, but it'd be somebody who doesn't know you, hasn't even got your notes. It's that difficult, isn't it, to see a doctor? But the Lord Jesus Christ is so intimately concerned for each and every one of us that we are never out of his sight, never out of his care, never beyond his reach. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He is a personal God. He is Jehovah Rapha. And we see it so clearly and so plainly, don't we, in this most wonderful name of our God, the physician of all souls. He heals, he binds up our souls. He heals the brokenhearted. He cures and heals all our diseases. He does that wonderful work of healing. Body and soul. He preserves us, he keeps us, and he helps us in all of it. And we have to remember this. And when we come to our prayers, and when we have problems and difficulties, it's him that we need to turn to, first of all. We don't neglect the means that he has given us. He does use means, we'll see that in just a moment. But it is him that we have to look to. And it's him that we have to rely upon. And it's him that we have to trust in for our healing. It's him that decides. And it's him that gives us the cure. He is the cure himself. It's Jesus Christ. It's our Lord. It's our God in heaven. The great physician of all souls and all our diseases. Think about it, friends. I don't know if you watch medical programs on television. I don't watch many of them. I only watch the ones that don't show blood and gore, because I don't like blood and gore. But if you watch any of them, you know, like, I don't know, 999 emergency or 24 hours in A&E or any of these other programs, you know that some people get over the most incredible accidents and problems and diseases. They just confound the doctors. People who should be dead. People who have no chance, as far as they're concerned, of surviving, survive. And within a few days, they're out of hospital. Not a few weeks or months sometimes, but even a few days, they're out of hospital. And they're recovered. And then somebody comes in. They've had a minor accident. And there's nothing the doctors can do. Nothing. They work hard. They do everything they can. And they know that this person should live. But they die. Tell me, who is the one who heals? Who is the one who decides? Who is the one who cures? Is it the doctors? Or is it the Almighty God of heaven and earth? Who would, yes, blesses and uses the means and the skills that he has given to the doctors, to our aid and to our help, but they can only help. It is God who heals. Is it not? Of course it is. It is the sovereign God of heaven and earth. It's the same with souls. He is the physician of souls. He is the one who saves souls. He is the one who heals up those souls. Look what he says. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now notice, the Lord did heal and did give sight to the blind. And he did bind up the brokenhearted in the sense of those who were ill and those who were sick. He healed all their diseases. Some of them came with terrible heart diseases. And they were healed. That's our God. He can heal anything. And we'll see this in a moment. He heals everything and anything that is brought to him. But this is in the context of saving a soul. This is in the context of him coming to preach the gospel to the poor. And every time you see something that is about that you may think was a physical thing, it's followed up with a spiritual thing. Look, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, followed up to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, followed up to set at liberty those who are oppressed. You see, this is a spiritual thing. It is he that heals souls. He. It is not the means that we use. It's not the efforts that we apply. It's not the work that we do. It is he that heals the spiritual need of people, which is forgiveness for their sins, cleansing from all their sins, and a new life given to them, a spiritual life given to them. It is him, the physician of souls. That's what he was sent to do. And we must never rely on the means. We must use those ones that are legitimate, those ones that he has given us to use, those ones that he says he will use. He is the physician of souls. He decides what means he will use. You go to a doctor and you say to, and the doctor says to you, "Well, I'm afraid, I'm sorry, you've got to have your leg amputated." And you say, "Well, doctor, can't you just rub it with some germaloid or something and it will get better?" "No, you've got to have your leg amputated." "Oh, but doctor, can't you just, you know, put a bandage on it and put some honey on it?" "I think honey is quite good for healing, isn't it?" "Don't try it, friends. Please don't try." Anyway, no, you can't, can you? You can't prescribe what is good for you. The doctor prescribes it. And God has prescribed the means that he will use as the physician of souls to save and to redeem his people, and to heal up the brokenhearted, and to open the eyes of the blind. And if we are going to be successful, then we must work with him and not against him, and not seek to use means and put our trust in means that he has not anointed and he will not use. That's the problem. That's one of the great problems. I know I labour this, friends, but it's so clear, isn't it? It's so clear. Why are our churches so bent on using means? Do you know why it is? I mean, the means that are not authorised by the scripture. Anything to get the people in, anything to make them comfortable, anything to tell them that they don't have to change, when the Bible says, yes, you do. You need to be born again. You need to have a new life. Why are our churches so bent on this? Because they've lost sight of Jehovah Rapha. That's why. They've forgotten who it is who heals. They've forgotten who it is who must come alongside that soul and give life to that soul. They've forgotten who it is who prescribes the medicine for the soul. The medicine that he will use to heal up the brokenhearted and give sight to the blind. Isn't it, friends? I mean, we talk about unbelievers doing this. Unbelievers do it all the time. They're always trying to use things that God has not said. Why? Because they're ignorant of it. And they're so bound up in their own lives that they think that they have a right to demand of God what they want. But now we're doing that as churches. We're doing that as his people, aren't we? We're turning round to him and we are saying, we have no confidence in you anymore. We've got to do it our way, not your way. Well, he is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals. And if there are going to be those whose broken hearts are healed in our church, our confidence and our trust must be in him. In him. In our wonderful Jehovah Rapha. And the Lord Jesus Christ proves to us. Oh, he proves to us in so many ways that he is Jehovah Rapha. He has that wonderful name. He is the physician of souls. I mean, he as much says it here, doesn't he? He says, you will say to me, physician, heal yourself. That's what they will say to him, because they know he is the physician. And he says, those who are righteous have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, he's come to save those who are ill, those who have the disease of sin, and to save them. And all the miracles that he did, all the healing miracles, all the powerful miracles were to demonstrate that he has almighty power and authority over all things in this world, over nature, over people, over demons, over everything. He has that almighty power. I mean, we have it demonstrated here, don't we, friends? We don't have much time now, but just look on after he's made this wonderful statement. This wonderful statement. He goes on to demonstrate it time and time and time again. Look at verse 31. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath day, on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his words were with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Do not come to did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him into their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. So the very next thing that Jesus does is to demonstrate that he is the great physician. The great physician. He heals all our diseases. The demonic ones. He heals them. He heals souls, doesn't he? But he goes on to do more than that. That's verse 35. Verse 39. "So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them." This is a physical healing now. He rebukes the fever and it has to go. It just has to go. And then we have in verse 40, "When the sun was setting, all those that had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them." Every single one of them. What diseases there must have been. What terrible ailments and complaints. What terrible scourges of mankind were there in his midst. But the physician of soul, the physician of souls had the power to heal them all. Every single one of them. No matter what they were, no matter what the condition was, he had the power to heal them all. That is our physician of souls. That is our God. All our diseases, all our complaints, all our needs, whether they're bodily, that means whether it's physical, mental, emotional, he can heal them all. It is his authority and his power. He may use means. He may use doctors. He may use ointment. So we must take them. That is what he has supplied. Those ones that God would use and bless to us. But it is him. He is the one who heals all our diseases. And it is a sovereign work of God too, isn't it? We must never forget that. Many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha, verse 27. And none of them were cleansed except Naaman, the Syrian. It is a sovereign work of our God. And we ought to be comforted by that. It shouldn't frighten us. It shouldn't worry us. We shouldn't sit there thinking, well, maybe he doesn't want to heal me. No, we're in the hands of a sovereign God who sovereignly has chosen to do all things for our good. The mighty God of heaven and earth that knows what is best for us and what will bring glory to him. The mighty God who loves us intimately and personally. The mighty God who cares for us so much and loves us so much that there is no love in this world like his. There is nobody in this world who loves us more and who cares for us more and is concerned more for us and more for our needs and more for our plight. Who feels and empathizes with every twinge and every problem and every difficulty that we have. Nobody but our Saviour. And it ought to give us great peace and great contentment that we are in his hands and our sovereign God will do what is best for us. Our sovereign God who can heal us in a moment. Our sovereign God who can sustain us and keep us, for his grace is sufficient for us and his strength is made perfect in weakness. Our sovereign God who will make his purposes to be fulfilled in our lives. And if that purpose is to call us home and to take us to glory, where we will be with him in the wonders and joys of heaven for all eternity, if his sovereign will is to end our suffering on earth and to take us to our rest, then all glory to his name. All glory to his wonderful name for giving us at last our inheritance. He is sovereign, sovereign over it all. And we ought to take rest and be at peace in the knowledge that we are in his wonderful, healing, sovereign hands. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we come into your presence and we do praise and thank you, dear God, that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the one who heals all our diseases. You are the one who binds up the broken heart. You are the one, O Lord, who cares for each and every one of your children as if they were your only child. You are the one, O Lord, who, O Lord, is with us all the way, in all our problems and difficulties, in all our suffering. And you feel for us. And, O Lord, you, O Lord, your heart goes out to us. And you do what is good for us. You do what is best for us. And we praise you and we thank you that you, in your sovereign will, with your great authority and mighty power, are working all things together for us, for our good and for your glory. So be with us, Lord. May our trust always be in you. May, O Lord, we not be afflicted with, O Lord, the terrible sin of doubting you and complaining against you. May that bitterness not enter our hearts, we pray. But may, O Lord, we look to you and know that we are in the hands of the mighty God of heaven and earth. In those loving hands, those wonderful hands that will keep us and have us for himself for all eternity. Bless us and be with us now, for we ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Let's sing our last hymn then, which is 724. 724, all the way my Saviour leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er before me, Jesus doeth all things well. 724.